Live from the HananiahAutos.com studio, this is Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express. Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, along with former Jaguars Jeff Loggeman and Tony Baselli, provide the latest Jaguars news and what's happening around the NFL. Brought to you by Baptist Health and by Everbank. Jaguars Thursday begins right now. Right now.
From the HananiahAutos.com studio at Everbank Field, this is Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Loggeman, Tony Baselli, and you. Phone calls coming up, 355-NFL1, 355-6351. Special guest Peter King will join us.
Yeah, since he stiffed us for the Gus Bradley show.
Well, there you go.
But that's all right. I mean, you got more pull than I do, JP. I know. But that's all right. By the way, your microphone wasn't on because whatever you say is not worth it.
Okay, so basically the reason Peter, you know, Peter and I are tight.
Are they?
Yeah, and I got a text message that basically said, if it's Jeff by himself, I'm not going on.
Well, there you go. Hey.
I'll wait for JP because I like JP better.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I didn't get any text messages. I just thought it was.
We'll get to Peter coming
good.
Up.
Sounded good.
It sounded good.
Sometimes
sounded
I just make things up because it sounds good.
Peter was here on Monday with his entire Monday morning quarterback crew. We'll get to his thoughts about Jaguars camp. Also,
which is too bad, though, because basically practice got canceled and it was a walkthrough.
That's right.
So I'd be interested to see what his column is. Now, he got to talk to everybody, but he didn't get to see to watch it for himself much of anything, right?
No, but a guy like Peter King.
No, he's getting information from everybody else. I know that.
It's who he talks to, and Peter's got excellent access around the National Football League. Maybe better than anybody else.
But I'll say this, and I love Peter King, and I love his Monday morning quarterback.
Suck up to him a little more. Go ahead.
No, but one of the reasons I love Pete Prisco is one of my favorite is because Pete's very connected. And he also gives an opinion of what he sees.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's a different style. You know, Peter's he's a great storyteller and getting information and telling everybody. So it's great stuff. But that Monday morning quarterback is one of the best sites on the internet for anything when it comes to football information.
And if I'm not mistaken, Emily Kaplan, one of his colleagues, had the actual practice report and recap
for the Jaguars?
From Jacksonville that day.
Not much of a practice report, though.
It wasn't at all.
Walkthrough report.
Let's go to the phone line now. Welcome in Peter King from Monday Morning Quarterback and Sports Illustrated. Peter, good evening. How are you?
JP, Jeff, how you doing? Tony, how's everything?
Peter, outstanding. How are you doing?
Everything is going great. We're doing well. We're on our tour since we saw you guys in Jacksonville. We've seen Tampa. We saw Tennessee, and we saw Chicago. In fact, we saw Tampa Bay and Tennessee on back-to-back days. It's going to be interesting to see Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota, you know, within 24 hours of each other. It's very cool, and, both those franchises, for the sake of the people in those markets, both those franchises are really high right now. They're really excited. So as are fans in Jacksonville, and as are the Jaguars with Blake Bortles looking, you know, significantly better and more ready to play this year.
So before we get to the Jaguars, Peter, you saw those guys 24 hours, Mariota, Winston. And it's probably a little bit early to jump to any conclusions, but that's what we do in this business. We jump to conclusions based on what we see. Your eyes, eye test, guys you talked to, you saw both of them. Anyone leading the other? Anyone a little better? What'd you think?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say, obviously, because you're seeing guys. I mean, I saw Marcus Mariota's fifth practice. I saw Jameis Winston's fourth practice, so it seems silly to draw any conclusions. In fact, I thought it was really funny. Ken Wisenhunt told me, they're making a big deal in Nashville right now that, and I don't know what happened today, but as of yesterday, the first five practices of Marcus Mariota, he has not thrown an interception in either a team period or in any 7-on-7 work in five practices. So, everybody is saying, wow, you know, the learning curve has been very short for him. He's ready. And so Wisenhunt is telling me this. He's rolling his eyes, and he said to me, I might just go over there tomorrow and tell him, hey, just throw one. throw it to one of their guys, you know?
Yeah, just to get it out of the way.
Yeah, get it out of the way, because I want everybody to stop thinking he's the seventh wonder of the world, you know? And so I think there was a lot to that, and I think that one of the things right now with, you know, there's so much pressure. And I asked both of these guys about the pressure, and they said all the right things, but you really have to wonder, even in smaller markets, you know, like Tampa, you know, and Nashville, you really, really have to wonder, how is it going to be not only for them to go out and play and to get ready to play, but to get out there when you know that the weight of the world in that market is on their shoulders.
Peter King is with us from Monday Morning Quarterback and Sports Illustrated. Compare that now, Peter, to Blake Bortles. Last year was not going to be the starter, and then game three at halftime, he's thrown into the lineup, stays the starter the rest of the year. They change offenses, mechanic updates this offseason. You had a chance to visit with Blake the other day. Where's his head, and where does that compare to the other two?
Well, look, I don't know Blake Bortles well. I mean, I've talked to him three times in my life. I can't pass judgment on his state of mind or anything like that. The only thing I can say about him is that, you know, people who I trust in this business, you know, Dave Caldwell most notably, and you know, a lot of other people who really liked him a year ago, you know, thought that he was a legitimate, you know, franchise player. And so, look, you know, he comes in last year, all young receivers, all new receivers. And, you know, honestly, you guys know, a year ago at this time, Blake Bortles was going to be the rookie Carson Palmer. He was going to sit and watch the whole year. It was going to be a redshirt year for him. And I think if Chad Henne had been healthy and contributing and playing well and all that, you know, they probably would have done that. But you guys saw what happened. They made the choice to put Bortles in, and he played okay. He didn't play great, but he had some good games. And I think in the offseason, one of the things that really concerned him and talking to him, one of the other ones, too, is he wanted to throw without pain. Because I think it really bugged him last year that he was having pain, you know, in his arm and shoulder. So he goes out, and everybody says, you know, hey, if Drew Brees and Tom Brady are going to see this former Major League Baseball relief pitcher named Tom House, he must be pretty good. And so they went to see, you know, Blake went to see him too. And what surprised me, guys, is that he said that he spent all off season out there, all the time that he didn't have to be in Jacksonville, you know, for OTAs and minicamps and everything. You know, he basically lived out there so that he could work 3 days a week with staff and with Tom House. And I think that was really good. And it's so funny. He told me, you know, basically I learned to warm up. And I learned how to warm up. So now I think he's really happy with where he is as a player. And obviously with the change in offensive coordinator, you know, from Jed Fish now, you know, to me, I look at the way that a guy is a work in progress, because he's definitely a work in progress, and you look and see sort of the positive things. All the receivers are young. You know, he has really started to form a bond, a good bond, with Hearns. And, you know, look, I don't think anybody in America right now knows Allen Hearns. And I might be wrong saying this, because who knows, maybe it becomes Marquise Lee, maybe it becomes Robinson, I don't know. But I think Allen Hearns is a guy who really, really could break out for the Jaguars.
Peter, you know, obviously we're in the middle of it. You know, Dave Caldwell, you talked about talking to him and Gus, and we kind of see it day in and day out. And sometimes, you know, you're within the organization, you can drink the Kool-Aid, and we're, you know, we're believing the best, and we see the progress, and we like what we see. I'm curious, what's the perception, though, of what's going on here in Jacksonville, whether it's Blake Bortles or Gus or what they've done in the draft and free agency and where this team is, kind of the pecking order around the NFL?
I think that right now everybody still figures that the Jaguars are at least a year away, and this has to be a year that Blake Bortles gets 16 good games under his belt, struggles some but wins some too. They get a couple of upsets, they surprise a couple of people, but I just think you have to be realistic right now. Where is the pass rush going to come from? You know, are they going to get, you know, last year, I mean, one stat when I was looking over their numbers when I was there, they had 45 sacks, which is not just showing up. That's pretty good. And I think that's a lot on Gus Bradley, but I think that now they have to figure out how to get a consistent edge rush. You know, obviously, Sendarek Marks last year leading him in sacks. So, you know, they obviously want to get a better edge rush. They want to play better in the secondary. You know, the other thing when you look at stats, I mean, you know, look, I just you look at some things, and the other day when I was sitting down looking at numbers, and I think I'm right because I remember seeing it. You know, opposing quarterbacks last year, and they didn't exactly play a murderer's row. They had a tough schedule, but they didn't play the toughest schedule in the league. You know, the opposing quarterbacks had a 24-6 touchdown to interception ratio last year. Six interceptions is just not good enough. Now, you hope that Devon House coming in as a number one makes them better, but their secondary simply absolutely has to play better. Their offensive line has to be better. I mean, come on, 70 sacks. That's ridiculous. You can blame whoever you want. You say the quarterback's holding on to the ball too much, whatever, but that's preposterous. So those are the things when I look at this team, I say, you know, you don't know if you're going to get the consistency at the quarterback position. You know, you're not positive about your receiving core. You like them, but you're not positive yet. And obviously you still have some questions on defense. So, you know, look, I think that, you know, if I'm Shad Khan and I see positive signs, I mean, look, you guys know, you've been through 9 wins in 3 years. But if you're Shad Khan this year, I'm not saying, okay, if this team doesn't win 7, I'm cleaning house. It's a huge mistake. I think if you're Shad Khan, you have to look at it and you have to say, if in December we are playing tough, you know, late in the year, if we go up to New England and we play, or wherever they're going late in the year, whoever they're playing, you know, and we play really good teams, very tough, well into the fourth quarter, that should be what means something to Shad Khan and not setting some artificial one-loss record.
Peter, let me take you away from the Jaguars a little bit. This week, the NFL officials are scattered around the National Football League, and here in Jacksonville, Sarah Thomas, the first female official that will be in the National Football League, is here working with other officials.
Cool.
Pete Morelli, part of Pete Morelli's group. First of all, I think it's great. I mean, she obviously has paid her dues and is going to be an official in the National Football League based on merit. What do you think the acceptance level in the league will be for Sarah Thomas?
Jeff, that's a great question. A month or so ago, you know, I run this site now, the MMQB, and
I've heard
so
of that
we
one.
I've heard of that. We did this. This off-season project. You know, the 100 most influential people in the NFL in 2015, and so we had Sarah Thomas fairly high on the list. And obviously, the historical precedent of having a full-time, full-season female official for the first time in the NFL's 96 years is huge. But so I called Amy Trask, and Amy Trask knows what she speaks because she's the first, you know, high executive in NFL history to be a woman. And, you know, she was the CEO of the Raiders for several years under Al Davis. So I called her and I said, you know, would you write something on the meaning of Sarah Thomas? And one of her first lines in the piece she wrote for us at the MMQB is, I hope Sarah Thomas gets booed. And you know, I love that because the reason she wrote that is that she wants Sarah Thomas to get accepted the way anyone else, man, woman, frog, dog, would get accepted in any walk of life, which is you have to do the job, and you have to do the job at a high level when you're working in the National Football League. So that's how she should be judged, and I believe that's how she will be judged. Now, let's say first couple of weeks of the season, let's say she has a bad call, she makes a mistake. Well, you know, I think everybody out here in Mediaville and in Fanville is likely to say, right, we give her a break, you know, we'll give her one. But after that, if she screws up too many times, I think people are going to say, you know, she's not worthy. You know, you got to make a change. And the NFL has shown in the past, every year, they replace officials. So I think they wouldn't hesitate to replace her if they had to. But I don't expect that to happen. In my, I had a conversation with her after she was originally named. And, you know, it was so funny. I tried to bait her into saying all these things about the historical precedent, all that other stuff. The only thing she would talk about is how cool it is that little girls now will be able to watch a game and see a woman be an official in an NFL game, and that's great. But everything else, she just wants to go in there and officiate the games, which is exactly how it should be.
Yeah, Peter, I think it's cool for my daughters, three girls, that, you know, that they can see a woman doing that. As a player, if I was still playing, and I think it's the reality for most guys, I don't think they care. I mean, I wouldn't care.
Right, yeah.
I mean, listen – if she calls me for holding, I'm going to scream at her, just like I'd scream at the guy. I mean, I don't care if she's a woman or not. I mean,
you know, I asked her about, I said, and I'm paraphrasing because this was 4 months ago or whenever it was, what are you going to do? Because you know what happens. What are you going to do when Bill Belichick gives you an earful? You know, the line judges, they get worn out. That's exactly right. They're here to stop. So what are you going to do? And she goes, nothing. So to me, I think how she handles that stuff on the sidelines and how, you know, how some of the tourist coaches in the league tear her apart, because you guys, it's going to happen.
Peter King, Monday Morning Quarterback, mmqb.si.com, si_Peter King on Twitter. Let's finish, Peter. Where's the tour going from here?
Well, we are 24 miles outside of Green Bay, and I have to admit, we're not going to be doing football tonight. I'm taking the crew to Nikki's Lion Head, which is my favorite bar in Green Bay, and we're gonna tip back a few spotted cows tonight. It's our favorite Wisconsin beer.
Good for you. Make sure you get some cheese too.
We'll play on the MMQB training camp tour, guys.
All right, make sure you get the cheese sampler plate along with the beer.
Hey, everywhere there is that, so we will do that.
Thank you, Peter.
Peter, we appreciate it.
All the best, guys. Thank you.
Peter King joining us, Monday Morning Quarterback and Sports Illustrated. Come see the Jaguars at Everbank Field this Saturday, August 8th, 6:15 p.m., the annual scrimmage. The doors open at 5:30. Fans can purchase new season tickets, and you can select your seats throughout the night. Get free tickets for the scrimmage now at jaguars.com/scrimmage. If you can't make it, we'll have live coverage on Jaguars Radio, and live coverage on Jaguars.com as well. We'll talk position battles and more. This is Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
You know, I think last year was kind of, head was spinning. And I think this year it feels more normal. It feels natural. It feels like this is my job. You know, this is my workplace. And now I want to come in every day and try and focus on owning this offense and really trying to master this craft.
Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles earlier this week. Jaguars Thursday continues. J.P. Shadrick, Jeff Lagerman, Tony Boselli. That's what you want to hear from your signal caller, I guess, right?
That yeah, you know,
feels
hey,
normal
look,
now. That's a good sign.
I'm much like the scouts that we had on for the Gus Bradley Show. I mean, he definitely has made significant strides this season. There's no doubt. I mean, from the off season through the OTAs and the mini camp, et cetera, he's gotten better every step of the way. The one thing though that I wish he had was a little veteran presence in that wide receiver group. And the reason I say that
it's
is
young.
That
well, you know, he you know who it is. It's Julius Thomas is the veteran of that group.
But, I mean, I'm talking about
in the room,
wide receiver.
I agree with you.
You need to have somebody that a veteran guy can say, I know where he's going to be every time. I can count on him every time, and who has been there and done that.
But, Jeff, don't you think it's going to end up in – I think you're going to see a lot of two tight, so 12 personnel, one back, two tight, so Mercedes will be the in-line tight end. And I think you're going to see Julius move around, be in the slot.
No doubt.
Outside at times. He's going to be treated almost more as a receiver, like they've done it with Jimmy Graham in the Saints, now with the Seahawks. And he did that with Denver a little bit too. So Mercedes is going to be the blocking inline guy, and he's having a good camp so far. Mercedes is doing a good job. And it allows the very thing that they don't have at the true receiver position to be that veteran guy you can move around that you know. And you see it in camp.
I mean, yeah, but when he goes
to Julius more than
But when you have to go to a three wide receiver set, you got to have three wide receivers.
I get it.
The reason I say that it would be nice to have a veteran guy, if Marquise Lee gets hurt, which he did, so what? You know
what was this? Because I was here Wednesday when
hamstring.
He got hurt. I know week, that, but
week
he,
to
was
week,
he,
hamstring.
So he, but he's out. He wasn't here today. I mean, I didn't go to practice today. So
he did not practice. He was nowhere to be seen. But here, I mean, that's the thing is that
that's
look when you got young guys like that haven't been able to stay on the field, and you have a veteran guy that's proven it, that's been there, that's done that. It gives you the ability to say with Marquise Lee, hey, look, you got to get back and get out. What's the old saying? You can't make the club in the tub. Or you can't help a football team from the tub. You know, so Marquise Lee, I think it puts pressure on
– well, there should be pressure anyways.
On young players to come out and go to work every day. And I'm not saying that Marquise Lee is
– No, but
– sugaring anything.
No, but it's one thing we talked about. What was the one thing you and I wanted to see coming to Tramp? Marquise Lee.
Practice.
And Allen Robinson.
Practice every day. Because they didn't do it last year. And Marquise Lee didn't do it at all in the offseason.
And he's still not doing it now. I mean, and so I love Marquise. I mean, he's my guy.
That's
I
your
love
boy.
Him.
That's
my
your
boy.
Guy.
Love Marquise. It killed me Wednesday when he all of a sudden he disappeared. We didn't know what it was.
It was early.
And then by the end, I'd heard it was probably the hamstring. I wasn't there today. And so for the fact that it's week to week, what that tells you. I bet you anything we don't see him until the earliest is the second preseason game, is my guess.
Maybe. Earliest. I mean, that's a guess. You're talking about a hamstring.
Oh.
And he has had, I believe, a hamstring before.
He's had soft tissue. I believe it was the knee and the OTAs. I mean, just – you hate it for the kid because I don't think this is a case of Marquise Lee faking it or being soft. I just think it's bad breaks. I mean, we saw Cecil go through it for a while. Sometimes you see these skill position guys get these soft tissues, and it's just a run of bad luck. And
that's what I was worried about with him in training camp. Because, you know, all off season, you know, he didn't practice. He's got the knee thing
high volume,
and all of a sudden you hit training camp, and it's not like there's an acclimation. I mean, there's an acclimation period as far as how they work in the pads, but there's really no acclimation period to learning how to practice. Now, they cut him back earlier in the week, and I guess that was on Monday. He had
Monday,
some time off.
Well, yeah, he had the GPS numbers were high, so he didn't even dress.
Had that day off, and then Tuesday was a mandatory day off for the players.
Go back to that GPS, JP.
So essentially 2 days.
I wish that GPS was around when I was here. I'd have been running all over the place. Joe, I'd have just been running back and forth, just taking off. Even when the scout team was up, I just run back and forth across the field, so they'd say, you need a day off.
We mentioned Julius Thomas. He had some back tightness, but nothing major today, according to head coach Gus Bradley. Jared Odrick out today with a sore knee. That's day-to-day. Peyton Thompson with a hamstring, and Dwayne Grotz with a calf injury, both out today as well.
Yeah, Grotz disappeared on Wednesday as well. All of a sudden, I didn't see him out there, and then we talked about it, and obviously it's the calf. I got to be honest with you, though. I don't believe any of these injuries. And I'm just saying.
Why is that?
In the sense of.
What do you mean you don't believe?
Because in today's NFL, and it's nothing against players, the clubs are so cautious that it's like the slightest thing.
Right.
You get a day off. And so when I say I don't believe them, who knows if they're just very precautionary and we'll just give them a day off so nothing worse, or if they're really hurt. Because I think it would be safe to say, I'm just going back from our experience here. If you miss practice, you are hurt.
You're hurt.
If you miss practice now, it could just be GPS numbers are up. I mean, it could be veteran day off. It could be knee soreness.
Yeah.
I mean, I can remember, you know, knee swelling didn't mean you got a day off.
No.
It used to be this thing called...
It means you practice, and then after practice, you got a needle stuck in it to get it drained.
My favorite was, you guys need someone, so we're going to make you limited. And you know what limited meant? Is basically, everyone knew you were hurt, and you practiced until the position coach told you not to practice.
You got
to
break.
I mean, you just went. And so
it's much different.
I don't believe any of these injuries. In the sense of, I don't know how serious. Audrey could just be like, oh, a little sore. Let's give him a veteran day off. We were going to give it to him anyways. GPS
and
numbers.
Plus, they don't have to be accurate in disclosing anything when it comes to injuries. And
I mean, we had
training camp. They don't have to.
We had veteran days off 3 days into camp. 3 days into camp with no pads on. My voice is going because I've been screaming at high school football players because high school football started.
You shouldn't do that.
Seems like
why?
No, you can't scream at kids.
Oh gosh, yes you can. That's part of the problem. This world today. Let me tell you the problem is we baby these kids too much. And let me tell you what. Play O-line for Episcopal? No babying. No baby.
No, the big E on the hat. Big you got to get them right.
So my voice is, I have to get in shape. It's out of shape. I need a veteran's day off because my voice larynx sprained.
I don't believe you.
You don't get a veteran day's off
too much,
for a voice.
GPS. No. My GPS to my throat. Too many miles.
No, we need to change companies then because that ain't working.
Really?
No.
But anyways, so that's my voice. But, I mean, I don't believe it. So you never know. I mean, it was my whole point of the story. I mean, you don't know how bad a guy is because you just get days off.
You don't.
I'm surprised you haven't got a day off yet, JP. You've been going.
There's no days off.
JP.
You have a lot of your GPS numbers are high.
They're high.
Going
JP's
back forth,
voice
back
is in shape.
My GPS numbers are high, but they're going to be even higher. That's what's going to happen.
Too bad it's not really correlating to any weight loss.
It is, actually.
Oh,
I'm actually
cheap
down.
Shot.
Oh, are you?
Cheap
shot.
I'm down.
Really? How much?
I'm down about 10 pounds since the start of camp.
So you know what it is?
Does anybody care
you were
about
this
JP's
guy,
weight?
You know what?
I do.
He called
you were
it up.
So
that's
high.
Why everybody cares about
you were
it.
So high before camp that it's hard to tell.
How did we go from injuries to your weight?
Ask the guy with the E on his hat that can't talk right now. Because
break's coming up, so I was just kind of buying time until we
get
the break.
Get the heck out of here. Back by popular demand.
What's coming up?
I might run the Jaguars 5K Stadium Challenge Saturday, August 15th at 5:30. Enjoy the unique course inside and around Everbank Field. I ran part of it today. You can go under the lights, though. For more information and to register for the race, visit firstplacesports.com. That's the number one, stplacesports.com.
That's a great read, by the way.
Thank you. That's
read,
very
JP.
Kind of
thing.
Nice.
Let's talk about some of the battles.
We'll do that.
I want to talk about the secondary when we come back.
Secondary, camp battles, and more. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiahAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Republic Services is the undisputed leader in recycling in Northeast Florida. The official waste provider of the Jags, proudly serving the residents and businesses of Northeast Florida for over 30 years. Call Republic Services for all of your waste and recycling solutions, and they will take it from here. Are you ready to apologize to me, Tony?
For what?
For calling me fat.
No.
Okay. Jeff?
Why would I apologize?
I'm just saying, I can lose weight, but you can't lose your face, Tony, okay?
You just fight your own battles over there.
Bro, wait a second.
Yeah, I said it.
You want to talk about how we look? One of us is the hair running away.
I think you look great in black.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. That's very nice of both of you. Let's move along to camp battles. I'm 2-on-1. I can't handle this.
The hair follicles are running for cover.
They've been running for years.
Yeah, I know.
That's right.
I'll be on your side, JP.
You're going to go the bald route. That's original.
It's easy.
Nice. I do that to myself. Let's start
camp
with
battle.
Camp battle. Let's start cornerbacks. You wanted to talk cornerbacks here. A couple guys are out, like we mentioned. Gratz, Thompson off to the side. You know the starting guys pretty much. House. Colvin had a good day today, of
pick
course.
Six.
Absolutely.
Real nice pick. He actually had another one. He didn't control it to the ground on the sideline, so it wouldn't have actually counted as an interception. But still, nonetheless, an extremely athletic play. Aaron Colvin continues to show real positive signs. He is assured of being the starting nickel and could fight for playing time. Or if you have an injury, it's nice to have a guy like that who is ready to rock.
So this is a group that we talked about. Did not intercept the ball, and Peter brought it up, 24-6, and most of those interceptions were by Telvin Smith. Didn't he lead the team with interceptions last year? I believe he did, too. And so, not a lot of ball hawking. You got to see that better, and you bring in House from Green Bay. He's a man guy, big, long corner. You assume he's going to start on one side. Demetrius McCray has been the guy starting right now. But is Aaron Colvin the best corner on the team based on what we've seen so far? I know he's playing the slot, but you watch him in his coverage skill. I mean, he is so smooth. He has great feet. He moves in and out very well.
There was a
he
number.
Has good ball skills. I mean, we talked about the two interceptions.
There was a number, Tony, that 60%, it's either 60 or 65% of the defensive snaps during a football season will be nickel.
Yeah.
So
you're almost a starter.
If you're a nickel back, but at the same time, you know, there is 35% of the plays that you won't be on the field.
And then the guy that I'm intrigued about, and Jeff, you've watched more, we both watched practice, but you've watched more tape of the practices than I have. Impressions of Tommy Campbell. He is the perfect. He's the prototype. He's the prototype Gus Bradley, cover three corner.
Had a pick today.
6'3". I mean, he looks like he's a man child.
Mm-hmm.
Where does he fit in the rotation?
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I think you got to get to games to really evaluate Tommy Campbell. But
he's a fifth-year guy. Where was he last year?
He was here.
Okay, where was he before Jacksonville? I mean, because I know he didn't do anything really last year.
But the eye test, I mean, there's certain guys that look like they play the position. Like you go and you look at Roy Miller. You don't have to. It takes you 5 seconds to say he's a nose tackle.
He's a one technique.
Okay? He's a nose tackle. It takes you 5 seconds to say that Andre Branch is a defensive end.
Right.
When you look at Tommy Campbell, you go, I wonder if he's a safety.
Safety, linebacker.
Or is he just an extremely long corner? Yeah. But, I mean,
he's big.
They want big, tall corners like McCray and like House. And Tommy Campbell is there as well. So it's going to be interesting to watch when the lights turn on.
One more to not sleep on is Nick Marshall, the undrafted rookie out of Auburn.
He's got ways, but he's got ways to go.
Well, Gus talked about him today. He said he has a chance and likes what he's done so far.
He's got a chance because he's extremely athletic. But when you watch him when he goes in one-on-ones, you can tell that the nuances of understanding the route and where he needs to be is not quite there yet. But his athleticism, I think, intrigues everybody. He's one of those guys that he's probably not going to make it, but unless he's a returner.
Squad. He'll be on practice
but
squad.
But I guarantee you he is a guy that will get put on practice squad to allow him to develop because nobody's going to take him.
Well, Jeff, you would have said –
talking about a quarterback
You would have said the same thing about Shatley last year, that put him on practice squad, no one's going to take Shatley.
No, because I remember Shatley played extensively in preseason game number four. We're talking about Tyler Shatley, the guard, and he played extremely well.
If Nick Marshall plays well in preseason, you're going to have a problem.
Yeah, but I don't know what chance he has of playing well because his technique is not ready yet. Well, he's a year away at least.
If it was me, based on what I see these first 2 weeks, I wouldn't play him in preseason. I would just say, listen, I want to keep him on practice squad. Unless you think he's good enough on special teams to get that last defensive back.
He could be a returner.
Last defensive back position and return guy. I would hide him. I wouldn't play him because, I mean, the last thing you want him to do is put him in a preseason, him shine, when you know you don't have room right now or you like guys more, because then you have a dilemma because someone will come grab him. Guys who are long and can run and are athletic – teams want that.
One more note on Colvin today. He was talking in the locker room after practice about the differences in playing inside versus outside. He played outside some today and is maybe transitioning out there a little bit.
The near pick that he had was on the outside today.
Right. And he said on the inside at the nickel spot, it's more reaction and instincts.
It's instincts, which he has tremendous instincts.
Through the roof.
You know, there are
on the outside, he said the difference, Jeff, was it's you got to have that dog in you because you're up on the line and all of a sudden you got to fight at the line.
Well, because your vision is right in front of you.
Right there.
You know, you got a guy right in front of you when you're on the outside, whereas when you're in the slot, you have a guy sometimes right in front of you, but a lot of times you have to feel what's going on behind you. And that's probably what Aaron Colvin does best. He's got great instincts of feeling what the routes are going to be. Now, I don't know if that's a result of film study or just understanding routes and combinations of routes. But he clearly has an advantage. Aaron Colvin would probably be an absolute perfect fit in a defense that played a lot of zone because he has that understanding of where the routes are going to go and where he needs
to be.
He
has good man skills too, though, Jeff.
But he does have man skills.
Because and the other thing, when you're inside, to both of your guys' points, and what Aaron Colvin's talking about, that slot guy's on the move a lot of times. So you're going to get motion and stuff, and you're going from one side to the other. or return motion, and he's off the ball. Typically, the guys in the slot are a little bit more shifty, quicker, and the reason they're off the ball so they can get him off the jam easier. Outside, you're going to be fighting jams and everything else, and you know that's where you see your physical corner. So you better be able to move in space with quick reaction, anticipation, breaking on the ball, close ground quickly. That's something Aaron Colvin's done well.
See, the corner spot or the nickel spot, I'm not even worried about that. I'm sitting there going, those guys are fine. Whoever plays, they're going
to
be better.
But you have to be worried.
Because they got competition.
Well, I disagree. But I'm worried in the sense that we got to make plays.
No doubt. But the question that is on the front of my mind is the safety position. You know, Jonathan Cyprian, then who? Okay. I said way back when I thought that James Sample would be the guy until he broke his arm.
That's right.
You know, now all of a sudden he's going to get late start, maybe preseason week three.
How has Sergio Brown been there?
Oh, okay. You know, not great. Okay. You know, but that's a big transition for him now because, I mean, when he was in Indianapolis, he was a core special teams player, and he was more of a box-type safety. And now they're asking him to, you know, the safeties have to be dual purpose. Some have to play in the box on some plays, and some have to be able to play center field.
Oh, no, but you know when that changes? Is when you find a true center field safety.
Right, like Seattle.
And you just keep him in center field.
Where you have Earl Thomas guy. And yeah. Cam Chancellor. You're not going to take Earl Thomas and move him up into the box and let Cam play center field unless it's just a mix-up, change-up, yeah. You know, once in a blue moon type of defense.
You know what concerns me about this team? Whether it's the corner, defense.
Oh, it sounds like a lot, apparently.
No, you're talking tonight. Listen, okay, whatever. But I'll be honest with you. What concerns me more than anything is we need playmakers. You need guys in the secondary that are going to make plays, interceptions. I thought Peter King said it, and we've been talking about it. You don't know when you're getting Senderic back. Where's the guy in the pass rush who's going to win one-on-one? Senderic could win one-on-one. Okay? You know, receiver, where's your playmaker? Who's the guy who's going to get into separation? The only guy right now on this team that you could say he's a playmaker is who?
Julius Thomas.
Julius Thomas. Outside of that, you have young guys who you think can become that.
But they haven't proven it.
They haven't proven it. And the one guy on defense who was that guy last year, ACL and Senderic. The other guy I would say is a very close for me to say that I think he's a playmaker is Telvin Smith because the way he finished the year last year. I think he's going to be that change of game type player. But we need more of that. That's how games are won. That's how you score points. The way you score points in this league is not on 10 and 12 play drives. You can't do that consistently in the NFL. It's too hard. You score when you're a top scoring team, when you're scoring in the high 20s, low 30s, you're creating turnovers, you're getting picks, you're getting returns.
Or you have a great proven quarterback.
You have big plays on offense, you're getting chunk yards. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how you do it. And that's the one thing I think we'd all say right now, who are the playmakers on offense outside of Julius Thomas? Who is the receivers going to step up? Is T.J. Yeldon going to be a guy who can get chunk yardage and control the ball on the ground? Doesn't have great speed, but there's been backs who don't have great speed who can do that. They're all throughout the history of this league. You know, is Allen Robinson going to take a step on defense? Is it Aaron Colvin? Is it McCray? Is it Devon House? Who is it that's going to come in and be that playmaker? Jeff's been saying it for the last 12 months. Sip's got to become a playmaker. He's got to be a difference maker. I mean, that's going to be the difference of this team struggling a little. I hate doing the win guessing, but really being, you know, I thought Peter said it interesting. To me, it's come December. What I want to see out of this team in December is when they turn the TV on CBS and they do the wild card, just have our name somewhere.
Just be on the graphic. That's what I've been saying the whole time.
Just be somewhere.
Just be in the hunt.
You can be last. I mean, you could be, you know, 6-8, whatever it is. Just be in the hunt somewhere. But how you become that, you got playmakers, man. I mean, those are the guys we got to find. I mean, those young players have to become that. And I think that's a big thing at the corner position. And so when I get what Jeff's saying, you know, I'm not worried about corner because there's so much competition, there's good young players. But my concern is who's going to be that guy?
Jeff ain't scared, man.
Well, he's never scared.
Never.
He ain't scared.
Never.
Well, maybe sometimes.
Scared.
Just not in this instance. That's for sure.
Sometimes you got to be smart. and be scared.
Scared and smart.
You'll never miss a Jaguars kickoff when you ride the JTA Stadium Shuttle. Service begins 2 hours before the game and runs until 1 hour and after the game ends. The JTA Stadium Shuttle, your ride to Jaguars action. We'll be using that a week from tomorrow night. Can you believe it? The first preseason game is right around the corner. We'll look around the National Football League after this. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.
Welcome back to the HananiaAutos.com studio. Jaguars Thursday, presented by Kangaroo Express, continues right now.
Check out the all-new Jack Hanania's Infinity of Orange Park. It's brand new and has all the amenities you can dream of. It's like the Taj Mahal of luxury dealerships with a huge selection of new Infinities. Final moments of Jaguars Thursday. J.P. Shadrick, Tony Boselli, Jeff Lagerman. Boy, it's the midst of training camp. The scrimmage is coming up on Saturday at Everbank Field. Remember to register for tickets. Jaguars.com/scrimmage. Should be a nice night here. We'll have coverage on Jaguars Radio, 6 to 8 p.m. on 1010XL, and live coverage on Jaguars.com as well for the entire scrimmage. So if you can't make it out, join us in either one of those two places. Let's look around the National Football League and start off with Texans running back Arian Foster. He's going under the knife for a groin injury suffered Monday. He'll miss significant time. And that just adds to the offensive questions in Houston. Quarterback, running back, depth at wide receiver. A lot of issues in Houston now on offense.
Huge issues, because he is by far, in my opinion, the best running back in the National Football League when healthy.
Come on. Really? Better than Adrian Peterson?
Yeah. Because he's more versatile.
No.
He's... He catches the ball out of the backfield.
Are you talking
He's
like 3-4 years ago, or are you talking about now?
That's why I put the caveat in there that when healthy.
Okay, he was healthy last year.
No, he has.
He's never really been healthy.
No, he has not been healthy.
3 years ago he was. He still wasn't as good. He has never been as good as Adrian Peterson, ever. Never. He wasn't as good as Adrian Peterson when they were in Pop Warner, when they were in college. With any time, at any point of his life, has he been as good as Adrian Peterson? And I don't even think, I mean, he's a very good back. Don't get me wrong. I'll take Jamaal Charles before I take Arian Foster.
No way.
Yes, he's better out of the backfield, more dynamic. Yes.
He's got better speed.
Yes.
But as far But as far as consistency, being a weapon out of the backfield, from the backfield.
Oh, so Adrian Peterson's not a weapon out of the backfield passing.
Now we're talking nonsense.
I'm saying he is. I'm saying whether he's in the backfield or out of the backfield, Adrian Peterson.
That's what I'm saying.
Adrian Peterson doesn't catch the ball. He doesn't catch the ball as well. No way.
I will say this.
He's not as smooth as Arian Foster as a receiver.
I will say this. I would be willing to bet you whatever you want to bet that if you took a poll of 32 GMs in the league and they had Adrian Peterson and Arian Foster.
Well, they'd all take Adrian Peterson.
And you got it for the same price.
But I'm saying as far as dynamic players as a ball carrier and out of the backfield.
No, stop. You just said he was the best back.
He's more versatile.
No. So then why would all 32 GMs take Adrian Peterson if Arian Foster is more versatile?
Because they should all get fired.
There we go.
So Adrian Peterson, let's go to the 2013 stats. Let's see.
We'll start at the 2014 stats.
He didn't play.
Adrian Peterson.
So Arian Foster was better last year.
1,266.
Part of it. Availability supersedes ability.
Oh, great. Give me a break.
Peterson, 1,200 yards on the ground, 10 touchdowns. Peterson, 171 yards, 29 catches, and a touchdown. So there you go.
It doesn't matter.
He had some catches. The yardage wasn't there.
You can read all the stats you want. I'm just telling you, everybody in America who was ever played football or watched football or makes a football decision would take Adrian Peterson before Arian Foster.
When healthy, I'll take Arian Foster.
Besides Jeff Lagerman.
Jeff Lagerman is the only one. Colts owner Jim Irsay said Wednesday he expects Robert Mathis to return from the Achilles tear in early October or late November. He's no spring chicken. Is this the beginning of
last year?
Is this the beginning of the end for Mathis?
Well, I mean, you know, he's an older guy. An Achilles tear for defensive ends used to be, without question, career enders, period. But Robert Mathis may be a super freak and be able to come back from it, like Adrian Peterson came back from an ACL reconstruction in a very short period of time. But the biggest thing out of Indianapolis, did you guys see the tweet that the Indianapolis Colts put out?
No, what happened? I missed
that. They have a
had a day that they were going to have a expired prescription turn-in day, and you received a 2014 DVD.
Okay, back up. So Jim Irsay, who has had problems with prescription drugs, I don't think – I'm not stepping out of line there, am I? I mean, it's been
that
pretty
much – That is a fact. It's
fact.
Actual on the record.
Yes. On the record, like multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Police reports, yes.
Yes. And then – so then the Colts are going to say, bring all your prescription drugs to us.
Yes.
And we'll give you a ticket.
No, not tickets.
A DVD.
A DVD.
Whatever. Give them whatever. So, okay, listen, let me say this one more time so I'm making sure. Owner has had a problem in the past of really liking prescription drugs a lot and taking them illegally. And now we're going to say, hey, we're the Colts. Bring all your prescription drugs to us and we'll hold them for you.
Yeah.
That's brilliant.
That's what they did.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
Why?
And,
can someone tell me what
are you envisioning happening? There's a big bin of prescription
drugs. I'm not making jokes about this because he is a disease, and I'll be. I don't want to get in trouble.
Not a
I
good.
I could really make some.
Wasn't a good look for the Colts Twitter.
Not
folks.
A good PR move.
Let's put it down, my the gosh!
Move. Yeah,
idiotic. Like, first of all, has anyone ever heard of this? I've heard like buy guns back and like, get guns off.
It actually happens. It
really?
Does. Yeah, this is a thing.
Let's bring all your prescription drugs to one place and let's
that are
all
expired.
And what do we do with these prescription drugs?
Well, they destroy them. They don't hand them out to somebody else.
Sure.
I don't know. I'm
sure.
Guessing they do. I mean, it's usually like somewhere like a hospital or something like that, right?
And
that
where I don't know.
Like drugstores.
I don't
stuff?
Know, JP.
I don't know, but that's not a good combination.
No,
to have.
Come on.
The NFL could consider allowing fans in L.A. to make deposits to get on a waiting list for tickets at a temporary stadium before the end of this year without teams officially going.
I understand the desire of the NFL to get in the L.A. market. I've played football games in L.A.
No one showed up, Jeff,
with
when
the
they were
Rams
there.
And with the Oakland Raiders, and it was empty.
Empty. I went to them at SC. The Raiders played at the Coliseum where SC played.
Yes.
Which is like four blocks. It's across the street from the university.
I got whooped by Gerald Perry on that field one day.
Yeah, I probably saw that. It was on the other side. And we could walk to any game we want, and I could sit mid-level on the 50. I mean, there was nobody there.
Nobody.
And now, when
the Rams played in Anaheim,
now,
there was nobody there.
And we've been talking about a team going to L.A. for 20 years because they left 20 years ago. Well, 21 years ago, I guess now.
Might be.
Yeah, 21 years. Because 95, I was drafted. 95, that's when they left. So 20 years ago. And we've been talking about a team going back there. Now, in our infinite wisdom, when we have no approved stadium, every stadium has issues.
I want to see what happens.
We're going to put out a marketing. Hey, if you want to put money down and buy tickets.
Refundable, though.
Do it. I don't care. It's going out of my bank account.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, hey, listen, people in L.A., you put all the money down, we're going to make interest on it, and we're going to fund this whole thing that probably will never happen, but we're going to have all this money. And who buy? Oh, come on.
I would love to see. I want to see him do that because I want to see the actual count, the real count.
And I want to talk. No, you'll never get
you'll
the
never
real,
see the real
Jeff,
count.
You'll never
Jeff.
Get the real count.
Come on.
I want to talk to the people who actually buy these things.
That'd be like corporations,
okay.
Right? I mean, I don't
sure,
know.
I mean,
see,
I guess,
here's the thing. They're talking about doing this without even having a name team going there.
They don't have any teams.
They don't even have a stadium,
no.
Jeff.
It could be one of three teams, right? Or two or three teams.
It's a little baffling to me.
That's crazy.
But if you're going to move a franchise, Oakland Raiders.
But guess what? If you can pull it off, if they pull it off, more power to the NFL. You talk about the power of the NFL. If they can get people to buy tickets for a team that doesn't exist at a stadium that doesn't exist, and there's no plan of it ever existing at this point,
that's
just
power.
A hope. That is awesome because I want that business plan because I'm going to start selling stuff to things that don't exist that I just talk about doing.
A special owners meeting Tuesday in Illinois to figure that out. They'll allow any interested teams to present their vision for L.A. Tony, well done. Jeff, well done. Joe Fortunato, well done. For everyone involved, this is J.P. Shadrick. Come see us at the scrimmage Saturday night at Everbank Field. That's it for this week. It's Jaguars Thursday on Jaguars Radio.